Hey everybody, this is Kelly Schaefer of TaskComplete.com and the creator of the Concierge Academy. And today we are here for our next module. And today's module is all about the KIT campaign. In addition to the KIT campaign, giving you all a deeper understanding of what to do and why it's absolutely necessary to have a successful business. So what I've noticed lately is a lot of people have been having some time struggling over getting clients, maintaining relationships, and creating long-term relationships with centers of influence. And the reality is that what it's going back to is having a fear of keeping in touch. So that's what this module is going to be about today. We're going to go back. We're going to hit the basics again about keeping in touch, how to do so, and why it is absolutely imperative for the success of your business. So the KIT campaign is more than just keeping in touch. It's really what's known as lead nurturing. And lead nurturing is really the process of moving a person, client, prospect, even a center of influence, from meeting you to end up buying from you, referring you, or even just sharing information about you and your business and the services that you provide. One of the main reasons why people aren't closing more sales is because they aren't having enough conversations. The reason why they're not having enough conversations is because they aren't consistent in their marketing and follow-up. Now, we do know, however, that closing the sale, your percentages will drastically increase once you're actually having the conversations with the right people and the ideal people. And I've shared with you in the past that there were times when I was having, you know, conversations with 10, 20, 30 people, but the reality was these people were not actually interested in my service. I just thought that they would be a good client and that they could use my service. So there's a difference between having someone in your pipeline who you think needs you and for those who actually stand up, raise their hand, and say, I want to work with you. So first you need to make that distinction, because once you stop having conversations with people who have not raised their hand yet, then your percentage of closing the sale and your confident sales conversations will drastically increase. So whereas I used to be, you know, maybe 10% having a confident sales conversation, now I am at 90%. So 90% of the time, once I'm on the phone with someone who has raised their hand and is ready to hire me, the company, and our services, then it is a yes by the time we get off the phone. But making sure that I am only speaking to people who are physically, quote unquote, raising their hand first, and not me keep going after people who I think could use my services. One of the other things I want to say right in the beginning is I want to dispel a belief right now. What I've heard a lot of people say, I've experienced it even myself in the past, and I no longer experience it because I have a different mindset around it. But one of the things is people tend to think that, let's say Jane is a potential client, and they're following up with Jane on a consistent basis, and they followed up with her 3, 4, maybe even 5 times. And the thought process with most entrepreneurs is, I'm following up with Jane, therefore I should have Jane say yes to me and my services. And if you put both your hands out in front of you and you use your left hand and you're throwing out things from the left side, you're throwing out touches, you're throwing out emails, you're throwing out, you know, letters, cards, everything over here to Jane, your pre-wired expectation is that it's going to come back to you again on the left side from Jane. The reality is that the universe does not work that way. That's just how you assume that the universe is going to work. The reality is All your job is to actually do the work and send the energy out. Because when you start sending the energy out to, let's say, Jane, and you're sending her emails, you're sending her cards, you're sending her follow-ups, and you send it out to the left side, just knowing that the energy will eventually come back to you, stop expecting that it's actually going to be Jane's energy that comes back to you, and instead just know that the work you're putting out is going to boomerang out and come back to you on the right side. And that's where clients will just literally, like, fall into your lap. You'll get a crazy phone call, or somebody's neighbor will refer you, or you'll get a request through your website, or somebody you networked with 6 months ago that you haven't even spoken to now has a referral for you. So I want you, when you're doing your marketing, any of the marketing that you're doing, whether it's networking, giving referrals, keeping in touch, speaking, whatever you're doing, just remember it's just the part of the process of you consistently putting in the work and the effort, because the universe gives you back in proportion to what you put out. So if you're only half-assed putting out, you're only half-assed getting back. So you know that that's my favorite term in the world. Stop half-assing and start full-assing. So start full-assing your follow-up. Recently, I had a call with one of our students, and I asked about following up. And this particular person said, I send them one or two emails. That was the extent of her follow-up. Another client, another student that I've had the same conversations with, what are you doing to follow up? I send them a card and I send them an email. Again, that is only two touches for follow-up. You're not getting your energy out there enough. So when you're doing it, just remember, I'm putting the energy out, I know the energy will come back. I'm putting the energy out, I know the energy will come back. But stop thinking and assuming and expecting that the energy you're putting out in one direction is going to immediately come back in that same direction, because that is not the reality. The reality is that momentum in itself will bring clients to you, but from other areas. So sometimes you don't even know where they're coming from. It's really because you've actually put the energy out. So back to our content today. So I wanted to dispel a lot of beliefs and really give you a clear, fuller understanding. So one of the main reasons why people aren't closing more sales, like I said, is because they aren't consistent in their marketing or follow-up. Therefore, they're not even having confident sales conversations. 50% of people stop following up after one try. 65% of people stop after two touches. And just shy of 80% of people give up after three touches, which means almost 80% of people who are doing business are leaving massive amounts of money on the table. So do you want to be that 80%, or do you want to be the 20% that's actually yielding? It's also been stated that it may take up to 5 physical touches before you actually even become a factor in your prospect's life. The 4 touches before that, you might just be a gnat or a fly buzzing around in front of them. But by the 5th touch, now you've actually become a factor in their life. You've actually impacted them in a way that they now see you coming. So are you willing to stop leaving money on the table? And now I want you to repeat after me. I no longer leave money on the table because I'm not committed to the process. Now, a couple years ago, I wasn't always committed to the process either. And what I did is I actually took an index card and I wrote on the index card, I no longer leave money on the table because I'm afraid to follow up. It's exactly what I wrote on the card. So if that is a gentle reminder that you can give yourself, write it out on an index card, write it out on a piece of paper, and just use it as a gentle reminder on a daily basis that you will no longer leave money on the table because you're not following up and you're not keeping in touch and you're not nurturing your leads. So even if you need to pause this recording and run and grab a scrap of paper and write that on there, I want you to all write down, I no longer leave money on the table because I'm not committed to the process. Immediately after you've actually captured a lead, that person should go into your nurture sequence, also known as the kick campaign. The problem most people have is they stop keeping in touch before their clients are actually ready to say yes. And once you've created a list of potential clients and referral partners, your number one job is to market to them in a loving way until they buy or die. I mean, that's what the books will tell you, until they buy or die. So the first thing you need to do is create that list. Who is a list of people who have either said that they wanted to work with you in the past, have even had a phone call with you, perhaps they've had a phone call with you and told you that they would respond and never did, or said that they would call you back and never did? That is potential money on the table. These people need you. So it's really your job to make sure that you're there for them when they're ready to say yes. And the only way you can do that is by being in front of them consistently. So the first part of your assignment is to create a list, and you know what I'm talking about. You should have that love them up list that's on your desk at all times, where you're listing everyone who has ever said that they've been interested or thought about hiring you, people you've already had conversations with, people that perhaps you've even met at networking that were highly interested in your services. And again, remember, the energy that you put out doesn't always have to come back from the same source. So even if they said that they were interested in your services and they never actually become a buying client, just the fact that they are interested in your services makes them a high potential for referring business to you, because it might just not be within their wheelhouse to hire support in their house or in their business, but they're interested in your services, which means that they're intrigued by what it is that you offer. Therefore, their ears are more open, their ears are more alert, and they will therefore listen more attentively to when you talk, so that when they come across someone, they will be the ones that will refer for your services. So marketing and following up in a loving way until they buy or die can be done without being a quote-unquote pest, but rather more as a welcome guest. So how do you do this? Well, you can share stories. You can share resources. You can share appropriate articles. You can share case studies. You can send a newsletter. You can share blog posts. You can put them in your warm letter list. You can send handwritten notes, handwritten cards, information letters. You can also send what's called lumpy mail. So lumpy mail would be anything that actually like causes your envelope to be quote unquote lumpy. So if you have, you know, you can send anything. You can even send something as simple as a lifesaver attached to a postcard or attached to a card inside an envelope that says, give us a call when you need your life saved, or if you need a lifesaver, give us a call. Anything. It doesn't have to be expensive. It can be fun. It can be unique. It can just be engaging. Then, of course, if you have someone in your on your list that is a potential large client, so let's say someone in a company or perhaps a legal firm or a marketing firm or an ad agency, and it's more corporate related, then for those people you can do what's called a shock and awe package. And a shock and awe package is really just where you physically mail them something ridiculously huge to get their attention. You want to shock and awe them. But for the sake of this course, really really what we're working on now is becoming confident enough that we're consistently following up and that you are consistently following up so that you stop leaving money on the table. So whatever method that you actually choose, don't be timid about it. Be clear, confident, and committed. But before we go on any further, I want to actually talk about the mindset and excuses that you're using for not following up. And I want you to really sit back and think about it, because they are all excuses. These are some of the ones that I hear most often. I don't have the time. They didn't respond to the first two emails I sent. I don't know what to send. I don't want to be salesy. I'm afraid of being rejected. I don't want to, quote unquote, bother people. If they're interested, they'll call. Those are the majority of the excuses that I hear from people during our coaching calls. Those are the physical and mental blocks that are preventing people from moving forward in growing their businesses. Once you get past the mindset of it and you can recognize that these are excuses, I want you to again have a no excuses approach. Go back and remember your little index card that you created that says, I no longer leave money on the table because I'm not committed to the process. So what do you send? How often do you send it? What else do you do? So the reality is that you can do whatever you want and whatever feels most comfortable to you, as long as you're being consistent about it and as long as you're not stopping two or three touch points in. Because as we mentioned in the beginning of the call and the recording, is that it typically takes five touches for you to even really become within awareness to your potential client. So before recreating the wheel and trying to come up with new stuff that you should be using to send out, I want you to look through everything that you've already created in your business. What have you already created? Have you created a flyer? Have you created some kind of content through a newsletter or a blog post? Do you have a rack card? Do you have some kind of giveaway like a pen or a post-it or a notepad? What have you already created in the past? And use this information and this stuff, because this already gives you something that you can physically reach out to people with. Now, we've talked about the kit campaign before in the past, and we're going to just talk about it again briefly, and then I'm going to explain to you exactly my process so that it gives you a better understanding. On a daily basis, you should be carving out a minimum of 30 to 45 minutes a day just for follow-ups. And those follow-ups can be in mixed media, can be in the form of an email, can be in the form of a phone call, can be in the form of a note card. All you have to do is physically create your own systematic process that you can follow repeatedly. So perhaps your process will be email first, email second, email third, mail card fourth, make a phone call fifth, connect with them on social media sixth, send another email seventh, invite them to an event eighth, mail them something, a card, a note, a case study ninth, email them again 10. Whatever your process is going to be, just make it a systematic process that actually becomes what's called a sales funnel. And when one new person comes into the funnel, you just systematically pull them through the funnel until they become a buying client or they're at least a center of influence and they can easily refer. So what is my process? So my process is this. Typically, if it's a networking event and I go to a networking event, when I come back from the networking event, I input their information and their data into my my management system, and I just currently use Outlook. It does not have to be complicated. You do not have to pay a lot of money for complicated CRMs, but there are a lot of different CRMs out there. One of the ones that I would recommend that is comfortable on the budget is actually called Less Annoying CRM. And that you can track and tag and make a lot of notes in it when you have email correspondences. I don't even use that. I use the tools that I already have. So I use my Outlook calendar. I use my Outlook email. I use the task function. I use the good old-fashioned level up list that is kept on my desk at all times. So after a networking event, you come home, you take your information, and you put it into your system. If they are a hot lead where I think that we have synergy immediately, that person, I then schedule a coffee date or at least schedule a phone call with them. And then they get added to the warm letter list. If I do not think that they are someone who I want to sit down and spend 30, 45, 60 minutes with, I still at least will add them to the warm letter list. My initial follow-up process is I send them a letter that's about task complete and the services that we provide, and I accompany that letter with what is called my client scenarios paper. And a client scenarios is really just a bunch of they're not quite testimonials as much as they are scenarios. They're like itty-bitty mini paragraph-sized case studies. You know, Mildred is a senior who lives in a nursing home. She doesn't have any family. Her power of attorney hired us because there's no one physically visiting her ever at the nursing home, and they wanted to improve her quality of life. So they called us, and we meet with her on a weekly basis. And then when we meet with her, we bring her treats, we sing with her, we take her to the activities at the nursing home so that we can participate with her and improve her quality of life. So that's what my client scenarios document is. So if you don't already have a client scenario document, I highly recommend that you create one. So that is part of the follow-up process. They get the letter about task complete and a client scenarios process. Then 2 weeks later, we send them a rack card and our 100-plus ways to use a concierge list with a little note that's attached inside that just says, "Hey there, thought I would share this with you just in case you come across someone who might need our services." So you're taking the pressure off of them, but at the same time, you're educating them about what it is that you actually do, because most people still don't have a clear understanding of what it is that you do. So it's your job to then educate them. And you're educating them not just for themselves, but for potential referrals. And then when you say it in a way that says, in the event that you come across someone who might need what we're doing or what we're offering, then it takes the pressure off them, and then therefore you are not quote-unquote salesy, because you're not saying, "Hey, yeah, I see that you're living this completely disorganized, stressed out, overwhelmed life. Here's 100 ways that we can help you. I'm mailing this out to you." So it doesn't have to be like that. And then these people automatically just go into the warm letter list. And because the warm letter is being mailed out on a monthly basis, it means that within 1 month, they will hear from me again. Now, we've talked a lot in detail before about what the warm letters are like. Map them out month by month. If you're not willing to commit to a month to month, at least commit to once a quarter. So what can you do in the first quarter of the year to reach out to everyone that you've already made contact with? I personally, in January, I send a letter out wishing everyone a Happy New Year and telling them about the team. Because by doing that, they see the growth that the team is having, and I actually tell them, the specific roles that each team member plays, because it actually defines some of the services that we offer without, again, saying, hey, hire us, this is what we're doing. Instead, it says, hey, here's the team. Meet Val. Val is our organizing genius. We throw her into a closet and she comes out hours later. You know, meet Anahid. This is what she does. She loves seniors, da-da-da. And it's really just educating them about not just the team, but actually about the services. So if they never realized that we did organizing before, now they do. So that's my January reach out. My February reach out is a Valentine's Day card. March is usually about clutter, closets, garages, getting ready for the spring. April sometimes is an Easter card. Sometimes, again, it's a spring reach out. May, getting ready for the summer. June could be about people going away for vacations. So it's all going to be dependent upon the particular business model that you currently have. Are you offering organizing? Are you working with seniors? Do you do garage cleanout? Maybe you don't. Then, of course, those letters would not be relevant for you to use. So just clearly defining what are the things that you do in your business, what are the ideal situations you want to work in, and who are the ideal clients you want to work with, and actually write letters based around that information. Also, you want to be reaching out in other various ways. So the warm letter list that you're committed to on a monthly basis, or at least in your case, a quarterly basis, use mixed media. Don't always just send a letter. Send a letter 1 month, send a card next month. You can easily buy cards at, I buy cards all the time in Michael's or in BJ's and bulk stores. You can get 10 packs and 20 packs for just a few dollars. And even if it costs you $100 to send out an entire mailing to, let's say, 50 people, if you were to get one new client out of that, would that not be worth your time and money? Absolutely. So align with the services that you provide and use that as ways to reach out to people. Again, you can do the lumpy mail. You could send a pen. You could send a candy. You could send seeds for the springtime, you know, and offer them to plant something. Doesn't matter. Whatever is in line with you is what you can use to define yourself within the marketplace. But none of this can happen without consistency. And the best way to be consistent is to map it out in the beginning of the year so you know exactly what you have to do month after month. And again, if you're not ready to commit to month after month, then at least committing to quarter after quarter. You can even become a little more strategic, and you can even break your list down into different segments. So perhaps there are people that you've been nurturing and talking to specifically about organizing, then what you can mail them is organizing tips. Send them organizing tips. Find an article that you found in a magazine. Copy the article. Send it to them. Copy the article and send it to 100 people. It doesn't matter. The biggest value in all of this is that you are just staying in touch. I had a realtor who ended up becoming my realtor, and at the time I had already had a realtor, and I met this other woman through my own networking. And what happened was she started staying in touch with me consistently. I would get a letter from her every month, then I got a card every month. Every time she saw me at a networking event or we spoke, she would handwrite a card. She would send like little gifts, drop off little handoffs at my house. You know, and if you're living and you're doing things locally, you can easily drive around and leave things locally, which is what she did. She had like her top 50 people, and once a quarter, she would physically drive around and drop something off at these 50 people's homes. So in July, she dropped off barbecue sauce, and at Thanksgiving, she invites everybody to pick up a pie. And in the spring, she would give us all packets of seeds. But I'll tell you what, it worked. Because when it was time for me to sell and buy a new home, I reached out to her and not the person that I had used the last time when I moved into my house. And it wasn't because that other person had been a bad realtor. She was actually phenomenal because we had had a really sticky situation when we moved into our home that she, you know, all her resources got us out of that sticky situation. But she never followed up with us. We moved in July. She sent us a welcome gift, and then she sent us a pie at Christmas, and that was the last time that we had heard from her. So here it was 7 years later, and she had not stayed in touch with me. So she lost the sale and buying of a new home, and that was a big loss for her. So was she the 50% that only followed up once, or the 65% that only followed up twice? She was, and she left massive money on the table. So again, it's just a combination of effort. It's emails, it's letters, it's cards, it's connecting with people on LinkedIn. If they're in the professional network, you can connect with them on LinkedIn. Facebook is more of a private thing. Twitter is really not relevant for this part of the follow-up. But reaching out by email, phone, connecting, letters, so forth and so on. Those are the main ways that you will keep in touch. But again, you have to be consistent about it and stop giving up after the third time. And just knowing that the energy that you're putting out on one side will come back to you on the other side. So I ask you, what will you do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, quarterly basis, or on an annual basis? I want you to really put some time and think the process through and then create a system out of it. And the best way to create a system that you can stick to is by actually typing it out so that it becomes almost like an ongoing checklist. So you can move Jane through the checklist and create a system, because then as you get bigger and you have no more hours left, it's a system that you can therefore hand over to an assistant or someone else who can still maintain the system to bring new clients in as you're working with the current clients that you have. So that's really going to wrap it up today. I just want you to remember that the purpose of nurturing and keeping in touch is not to obnoxiously pester or harass people into buying something. It's really the process of building trust, building a relationship, providing value, and demonstrating your leadership in your area of expertise. And I know some people might think that this is so easy, that it's not rocket science, and it really isn't. It's not rocket science. It's actually very simple, and anyone can do this. The problem is, as I gave you the statistics in the beginning, 80% of people are not doing it fully. So are you going to be the 80% that's leaving money on the table, or are you going to be the 20% that's committed to keep putting the energy out? And also remembering that the energy that you're putting out is not necessarily the same energy that's going to come back to you. It's a boomerang effect. The universe gives back to us, therefore, for what we put out. So I hopefully broadened your mindset today and, you know, inspired you again to really just jump back in and be more consistent and more confident and more clear with each step of the marketing process. And that's it for today. So have a great day, and until the next time, big hugs. Bye.